Men's Health Month, an annual month-long observance whose purpose is to heighten awareness of preventable health problems and encourage early detection and treatment of disease among men and boys. At the top of that list is men's mental health. Earlier this morning, we spoke with Dr. Raymond Abdurrahman.
This sort of actually started with something that I posted, you know, a quote from Robin Williams. And I guess we could argue the validity of whether or not Robin Williams said this or not, but I don't think it really matters. But the quote is, people don't fake depression. They fake being okay. Remember that. Be kind. Is there something to that?
Yeah, there is something to that. So when we think about rates of mental illness, you know, we think that there's differences across people. So people used to think that there was differences in mental illness across the globe or different cultures. The rates actually are generally across the globe the same. And the same thing happens with men and women. People often think that it's tied to, you know, that women are more likely to experience certain problems than others. Really, it's a matter of reporting. And so when it comes down to where we see greater rates of illnesses, it's usually in the ones where there's no social taboo in reporting, where people can't. So, for example, we know that women are more likely to be diagnosed with depression, and people think that the rates of depression in men are lower. But we also know that men are more likely to die by suicide than women. And what that suggests is that there's difficulty in reporting. When we get to, you know, mental illnesses like schizophrenia, for example, there's no differences. And usually in that case, because there's no, you know, the person is so unwell that there is an inability, they're not the ones reporting. It's usually a diagnosis through another mental health professional. We see no differences when it comes to that form of mental illness. And so we really need to be asking ourselves the question of whether we're allowing particular groups in our society, and in this case, men, to be able to actually report what they're struggling with.
So why do men struggle to reach out and find assistance for their mental health issues?
It's not taboo for women to talk about their feelings culturally. Women are more likely to be able to seek out help. They are more likely to be encouraged to seek out help, and they're more likely to be believed when they report these kinds of problems. And socially, women are more likely to find better connection with their peers, right? There's less of a taboo to talk about, you know, the depths of their feelings. All of those is not true when it comes to men and boys. We socialize men and boys to be tough, to be able to sort through it themselves, you know, to be a man. And when they do actually articulate what they're struggling with, we tend to punish that. You know, what are you talking about? You know, we don't, for example, rates of domestic violence, you know, we tend to believe that the rates of domestic violence, it's more likely that the woman is the victim and the male is the perpetrator. But what we don't understand is actually the rates are actually pretty similar. They just show up in different ways, and men are in no way going to be reporting domestic violence. There's a lower rate of that. And so the question we really need to be asking is, are we supporting men and boys through the human experience of mental health and mental illness? And I would say we do not.
And as far as boys, as far as men not talking about their feelings, I hope that this is a trend that is changing. I know that I have some friends with whom I don't talk about that kind of stuff because it's just, they're, you know, not that kind of friendship, or, you know, they're a bit more old school. But I'm also very happy that I have some friends who are far more open about that stuff, not just sharing their feelings, but also welcoming mine. Because I think part of the problem, too, is when you're vulnerable and somebody rejects that, like you try to talk to your boys about something.
Yep.
And they reject, they don't want to hear it, or they just move on from it.
Refuse to even give you any sense of validation.
Yeah.
That it's something to be concerned about.
And then you just feel worse. And then you're at risk of bottling yourself up even more. And I know you had some thoughts on that, Mackling, or an important question.
Are we still in a world where suggesting you're hurt physically or otherwise is a sign of weakness?
Yeah, well, it is. And the dilemma here is that there's this false belief that it, there's this homophobic response that comes with men expressing, you know, their mental health and well-being. And I see it often in my practice. You know, we're getting to the point where we're more likely to support our children and our boys to talk about it. But we're still not at a point where those of us in society who are grown adults, men, when they report their difficulties, that we're believing them or supporting them. I can tell you, I've seen so many men who are in therapy, and men are now coming in for therapy. Like, that is true. But they're not supported by the other people in their lives. They're not supported by their partners or their spouses, you know, or this, you don't need to go in. Why are you going in? And that's not something we typically think of when it comes to women, but I hear about it all the time.
There's actually a lack of, at least perceived, support from the partner on the other side for this decision to come to therapy?
Yes. Yes, there is, on a regular basis. You'd be surprised. And the other thing I see so often is rates of domestic violence and even emotional abuse towards men that they don't often come forward with. Men are also far more likely to be lonely, particularly when you get to the age of, you know, being partners or fathers. So when, you know, we're approaching Father's Day, what we don't recognize is loneliness, ultimately depression, increases like tenfold when it comes to men once they get to past their 30s. And they don't, whereas women are more likely to seek social support, and it's not taboo for them to feel like they can be connected and articulate what they're going through. Men are not rewarded, supported, taught to connect with other men the same way. And so, you know, one of the things that I see often in my practice is how lonely men are. And the only place they can actually feel like they can truly be themselves is in therapy. And that's a really sad state of affairs where we can't teach our men and boys to find, you know, a form of platonic love with other men. And again, we come back to this really, you know, we think we've progressed, but, you know, we've got this kind of homophobic kind of lens on humanity, that men can't really connect with each other, that there's a taboo, that it means that they must be gay. And how unfortunate is that, that in order for us to be real, we have to, you know, that all of a sudden that changes who we are as people. And what would be bad even if that was the case? But we're still at that point, I would say.
We're speaking with Dr. Raymond Abdirahman about men's mental health. And Raymond, not everyone embraces these discussions. There are still some who insist these discussions are unmanly, that they are emasculating.
We will be accused of perpetuating the wussification of society just by having this discussion. This is part of the woke agenda, Doc.
Yeah, you know what? It might. Some people might think of that way. And you know, I do a lot of work when it comes to equity and inclusion. And I would argue that also includes men. I think there's been a real shift, and I don't think this is about wokeification. I think this is about humanity. It's really about understanding who we really are. How are we going to ever make ourselves better as a society if we can't talk about the reality of what things actually are? Look, my entire master's and PhD was in the area of male survivors of sexual abuse. I know a heck of a whole lot about men and boys keeping secrets. Mm. And all of this stuff is data-driven. It's all data-driven. Once you remove, you know, the pressures of society and men and boys can be really who they are, you know, there's no real huge difference when it comes to our humanity and the expression of it, including mental health, compared to women and girls.
Sorry, Brett, I'm a little distracted at the moment here. If you want to just kind of take this, take it and run with it. Oh, here, you know, let's put it this way. Much of our mental health struggles with mental illness comes from trauma. We know trauma is difficult to discuss no matter who you are. And men have this hurdle to clear.
We don't believe men and boys when they report abuse. We just don't. and particularly if the perpetrator is female. You know, we're easy to believe that a perpetrator can be male, but we will never believe that men and boys can be victims, in particular towards other, in particular by other men and boys, by women is what I mean. And that's a very tragic thing, so we don't allow room for those experiences. I was talking to somebody this week, and you know, they're a grown man, and they're so profoundly impacted by their own abuse early on in life, and they just weren't allowed to express this with their partner. The partner was like, well, when are you going to go see your therapist next? So they were supportive of therapy in this case, but the partner themselves couldn't hear all of this. And so this, and this person couldn't, they couldn't seek support anywhere else. They tried to do it for other people, but they just weren't getting it back. And so how lonely of a world is it? And what do we expect? We talk about toxic masculinity, but what have we done, you know, as partners, as community members, as siblings of the men and boys in our lives that would actually support them to be believed in their experience? And I don't think we do that enough.
How often then, when men are abused and taken advantage of by men, oh, well, you're gay then, right?
Yeah.
And if you've been abused or taken advantage of by a woman, oh, lucky you.
Way to go, man.
Right?
Yeah, you did it, man. Wow. We think that's a good thing, that there's no way that that could have happened, that they had to have had the male's consent.
So many things broken. We can fix them only so quickly. Doc, we appreciate you, man.
Yeah, well, I will say this. We can fix things quicker than we actually think we can.
Okay, let me give you a minute on that.
Yeah, like, we can fix the world much quicker than we think we can. We're in a place in time where we think, oh, what can we do? We're one person. We're so far away. We don't know what we're talking about. We're not a professional, and all of that is baloney. If you care with your heart, if you truly have a sense of empathy, and this is supported by my own research, when we have empathy and we act on that empathy, you know, be it with people around the world, be it with the men and boys in our own lives, we can fix the world quickly, very quickly. We just need to act on it. And so I encourage everybody to act on their feelings in a good way.
You've got places to be inspired. Where can people connect with you, your thoughts, your views, your expertise on this?
They can follow me on LinkedIn. They can follow me on Instagram at dr.r.abdulrehman. And if they want to know more about my work, they can take a look at my consulting website, leadwithdiversity.com, or my clinic's website, clinicpsychology.com.
I never have a problem saying this to you. I love you, brother.
I love you too, man.
Dr. Raymond Abdurrahman, clinical psychologist and friend of this radio station. Thank you very much, Raymond. Oh, and by the way, to Raymond and Muslims around the world, Eid Mubarak to you. Eid al-Adha. Prayers are happening today at the RBC Convention Center.
To celebrate the Days of Our Lives 60th anniversary, W Network and Stack TV invite you to enter for a chance to win the ultimate fan experience. By watching new episodes of Days of Our Lives, you and a guest could win a three-night stay in Los Angeles, a VIP Days of Our Lives set tour, a helicopter ride over LA, and so much more. Watch weekdays at 1 and look for the weekly code word to enter. Days of Our Lives, all new weekdays at 1, only on W. Stream on Stack TV.